SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Hour two. Early on this morning, the stream took, Casey had to play around to get the stream up and running. And so if you missed anything, you can catch it on the archive. Later. And also, if you're having any issue, listening to Sirius online, a lot of times it'll be your player. Close it, clear your cache, and then reopen. Like if you go to listen and you can't. You're hearing like somebody wrote that they're hearing Friday's show. That's online. That's a player issue. So close it, clear your cache, reopen. And that, of course, that works for a lot of hangups. We have the crazy, in fact, I'm waiting for Johnny here. The craziest thing, Tina's watching a movie last night and I wasn't really paying attention too carefully. And all of a sudden, this audio program, this like a narrator, starts cutting in. It's explaining what's happening, and I was so we poked around and looked at the secondary audio program and all these different settings. And we don't even know. We still don't know what happened, how it happened. We just rebooted the box and it went away. It was the craziest thing. We were in the middle of a movie and all of a sudden it's like, there's a narrator. I was like, what? I didn't even know what that existed. I remember years ago with the DVDs they had the great commentary, sometimes a director and the actors. That's cool. But this was weird. This was very strange. So if you're having trouble, the answer is right there in your operating system. Johnny D standing by. Johnny, good morning.
Morning, Stevie. I was one of those people listening to SiriusXM and heard Friday's show, and then I tried to go to the website and I couldn't get anything to play there. So I was I thought, well, they must be having technical difficulties, so I am unprepared to talk to you.
Well, you didn't miss. You missed Tom Amos, and I covered the first 20, really the first 15 plus minutes. It more or less was a hitting the highlights of what has transpired since Friday with COVID and how it's unfolding at the venues, Johnny. And before we talk about how wonderful it is, there's a school of thought that says, oh, this is a great opportunity for people to listen and look and watch. And, there's going to be, it looks like Friday, Saturday, Sunday in New York, the broadcast is going to be widespread on, the networks looking for, something to fill in, their programming. But isn't there a school of thought that says we shouldn't be running at all? Just from we're banging a drum about safety, and I'm not sure that this makes a lot of sense, honestly.
There you go, being practical. There's no room for practicality and all that stuff. I don't know. I mean, if you're going to, why is the jocks room any different than NBA or NHL or locker rooms. They're all the same. Guys are all in proximity to each other, and you know, the stable employees, the help, they're all together. I mean, yeah, I guess there could be reasons to not race. Why are there reasons to race? I guess you could say, well, you know, we've done away with the crowds, so we've minimized that risk. I mean, heck, look at what is pretty amazing, actually. I don't know if it's completely crazy or stupid or fantastic. I don't know what it is, but they raced at Cheltenham the 4 days to packed crowds. I think they were only off like 18,000 from the previous 4 day meeting from the previous year. So there were, you know, hundreds of thousands of people there all together, jammed in. If you've seen the pictures from over there, shoulder to shoulder on the apron, watching the races, partying and the whole thing. So I don't know. I don't know what the correct answer is. I think we have to trust the CDC and the experts, what they suggest. And along those lines, we're keeping crowds away from the racetrack. And we're continuing to run the sport, but we, you know, it's a little different than other sports because basketball, hockey, guys are, you know, close to each other during the competition. They're sweating, they're breathing on each other. It's a much more, you know, intense physical activity. Racing, if you can keep people a safe distance apart, we probably can get away with it. So I understand that. What about the most insane thing, you know, in this area where I happen to live, Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, is one of the most infected areas in the state, certainly. I think last I looked, there were 17 positives in our county. And that was more than all the other counties around in Pennsylvania combined. So right away, the governor said he was going to restrict things in Montgomery County. Well, that's since been extended to Bucks County and Delaware County and all the surrounding counties. But not Philadelphia. All the bars and restaurants are closed in those counties. But Philadelphia is still... You can still go have a drink. And tomorrow, many people will. It's going to be St. Patrick's Day, and they're going to be jammed in those watering holes, shoulder to shoulder, celebrate. Why is it okay in Philadelphia, but a half hour away, you close everything to everybody? I don't know. I don't get it. I really don't. I don't understand the rationale. Now, We've seen in New York City, we've seen everything closed. But that was it took a couple of days to get to that point. They started out slowly, 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 and then all of a sudden, I think just yesterday, I think it was, the mayor said that everything would be closed in New York City. You know, they stopped the Broadway shows. They did certain things along the way. But then finally, they said, okay, we're stopping everything. The other crazy thing in this area is that a place I know you've been to, the mall. What's the big mall?
King of Prussia.
King of Prussia Mall stayed open. They said they weren't going to close. They stayed. They left it up to each store, each individual store. They stayed open while everything else around here was closed. But finally, they've apparently been ordered to close. So, but yet, a half an hour away, Philadelphia, the schools are closed. You know, many things are restricted, but you can tomorrow you'll still be able to go out and I'll be elbow to elbow in a bar celebrating St. Patrick's Day. Gail was trying to figure it out because obviously it puts a dent in her business. But I said, you can't figure out why they do what they do. I don't know. So to get back to the original question, should we be racing at all? I guess it's a judgment call. I don't see a real great danger. Some danger, yes. A lot of danger, not really. Without, you know, we got rid of the crowd, so I seek it. In the meantime, in the midst of all this, the casinos were open. The Philadelphia area casinos were open. You know, I heard you talk about parks. They closed parks and kept the casino open. I was trying to figure out the rationale for that. I don't quite get it. Unless they believe that nothing could survive in that smoke-filled, depressing environment. Maybe they thought that the virus wouldn't survive in there. I can't think of any. Now there was, I was informed there was one casino in this area that they closed. Harrah's, down by near the airport, they closed. But the other casinos around Philadelphia and the surrounding area, they're still open. So, you know, it comes down to a choice for the business. I'm amazed in California we've been able to race that the governor hasn't, you know, ordered it shut down because there are so many other restrictions that he put on things going on out there. I'm grateful that the golf courses are still open because we've had some decent weather here, spring-like weather, and I was able to get out this weekend, and that was wonderful. In our group, though, well, first of all, my wife was very adamant that I not ride in a cart with someone else, that I take my own cart. I can't walk because my hip can't make it all the way. So she said, well, you have to have your own cart. I said, look, we don't, you know, your cart mate, you sit next to him. You don't make out with him. I mean, it's not like, you know. She said, no, that's too close. I said, you don't know what's going to happen. And she had me with the hand sanitizer and all. So it was fine. Turns out, purely by accident, we had a threesome. We ended up with three carts. We each had our own cart. And it was by accident. It just happened that way. The time we got there and, you know, the whole thing. And then on Sunday, we each ended up having our own cart, which was great. But then about the 11th hole, a guy joined us. He was supposed to start with us, but he couldn't. He joined us on the 11th hole. And he was hacking up a storm. I mean, coughing, and it was a dry, hacking cough. Now, this guy, he said, oh, it's my allergy. Which I must admit, my allergies have been acting up on me, you know, being outside and around the grass and everything. I don't have a hacking cough, and it's, you know, but a little bit of a runny nose outside, you know. And he said, well, it's my allergies. And we were all like, okay, sure. Although we did stay kind of far away from him.
I was going to say, you should have said, take your allergies and play through.
Yeah. It's funny because one of the guys in the group had invited him to come. That's how he ended up with us. Anyway, the other point is, and this was discussed among the members of the foursome away from him. We pointed out that the fellow is a very heavy smoker, and he's also a very heavy drinker. So there was some suggestion that maybe the alcohol would kill any virus that dared to attempt to live inside his body. But while we were all laughing, we also were being very protective. Now, this fellow was coughing and was not even covering his mouth with his hands. He was just blowing it into the air. So finally, one of the guys in the enforcement said, hey, cough into your elbow at least. So, long way to get to the end of the story. Do I want them to close the golf courses? Do I think they need to be closed? No, I don't. But I can see how someone would say, look, there's a perfect excuse to close the golf course. Same thing with the racetrack. I guess there are reasons. There are reasons. I couldn't argue with someone who said the racetrack should be closed. I can't argue with that. I get it. But at the same time, I can also say, look, we've kept the people out. We've minimized the risk. Yeah. Oh. So I feel strongly both ways.
Yeah. Well, I've got, you know, I don't think it makes a lot of sense to try to, you know, press through this. Not when you read anything that, you know, based on the experiences in China, South Korea, Italy, et cetera. So, I don't know.
It's an excellent point.
Well, in the meantime, there was racing over the last 72 hours, and some thoughts, Johnny. I also figure you might know a little bit more about the jackpot hit, $420,000 on a $1,700 ticket as well. And then there was just the interesting racing. Whether you were focused on the three-year-olds and the efforts of Nadal and Charlatan in particular, and certainly should also include Field Pass, who followed up his turf win in Florida for Mike Maker, and the Wyckoffs wins the Jeff Ruby. And I think is a nice horse. It feels like we'll see. I mean, 90 buyer. But some thoughts about the weekend. What struck you?
It's hard to come up with. Obviously watching a race, obviously Nadal ran a spectacular race. It's hard to come up with a different angle on. You want to try and find a different angle on what happened over the weekend, but Nadal was powerful. He was sensational. I don't think you can describe it any other way. He fought off two legitimate challenges while going fast, and was able to continue on at the end. Everybody was worn out chasing him, and he emerged totally victorious, as much the best. So where do you go from there? The only thing I could possibly talk about, or we could have a discussion about, is what a race like that does to a horse. How much does a race like that affect a horse? Will it knock him out? Because certainly that was if there ever was exertion, that was exertion. He went fast. He was pressured. He was asked. But good horses, not every horse is different, but good horses are more likely to be able to withstand, especially a good three-year-old who's just maturing and coming into, a different level of strength and endurance. They're sometimes able to withstand a taxing race like that better than, say, a 5 or 6 year old, 7 year old, certainly, who a race like that would knock them out for months. But a 3 year old, a little bit different. And if he has a reasonable amount of time to recover, that's the only question where I could point to Nadal and say, well, we got to discuss this part of it. because what's this scoot race going to do to them? And that's where, partially, where the trainer comes in, a guy who's always been able to, his horses have always recovered after, and mostly, most of the time, recovered after big races. And whether he'll give him enough time. He'll give him whatever time he needs. He'll pick the next spot, you know, according to what Nadal needs. The next spot is a nice question to talk about. I guess we'll hear this week what's going to happen to the Kentucky Derby. This is going to be really interesting because while you attempt to have your athlete peak on the first Saturday in May, now, things are going to be different, I assume. We don't know yet, but it's looking more and more likely that the first Saturday of May will not include the Kentucky Derby. We haven't heard anything yet, but so now you have to adjust what you do with your horse. I read an interesting article by Pat Ford, Sports Illustrated. Did you happen to read that?
No.
It was about kind of a combination about the cancellation of the NCAA athletics and his son. His son is a swimmer. Can't remember what university he swims for, but he's a senior. And he's you know, swimmers and track athletes, they want to be at their peak maybe one, two times, you know, a year, a season. They aim, I think skiers in the Olympics, Olympic athletes are much the same. You point for one day when you want to be at your best. You qualify without doing, well, you hope to qualify without doing your very best so that there's something left in the tank that you can work back up to that and recover. And but you want your peak performance on that championship day. Not so much in football and basketball and other sports, but in the individual competitions, you see it very often. And you can't reach your peak several times a season. You just can't recover from it. So you train and you compete and you aim for a certain point. And basically he was talking about how much his son's college experience and how this is all developed. And now here they were ready for the biggest point in their lives, these seniors. And obviously it was canceled. And of course he paid respect to the virus and the importance of it, of canceling events. And so he was very respectful of the situation. He wasn't whining. He was just pointing out the sacrifices and how they aim for a certain thing. And now, well, kind of feel a similar way about the Kentucky Derby, because you start out, trainers begin, and they aim for it, a lot like the Breeders' Cup. How many times have we heard trainers on your show say, well, we're going to start with the Breeders' Cup and work backwards? And that's kind of what you do when you're aiming for a race. You pick out the race and, long term, you aim for it. So if the Derby switches around and we got to see what happens to the Preakness and the Belmont and the whole situation, it could turn into a very, very novel and unusual circumstance. And that's why that'll happen. So getting back to the beginning with Nadal, with any of these horses who run a superior performance, they may have time. It's going to be a completely different calendar that's going to have trainers scrambling. Some of the guys who maybe got a little bit too late of a start, they're going to have a chance to catch up maybe. And anyone that's had a little hiccup along the way, maybe have time to recover. We'll see. But Those are the only things I can say about Nadal's performance, other than what everyone else has said. Absolutely awesome. And, you know, if you go across the coast, you go to California and you talk about Charleston, there's really nothing you can criticize about the race, I don't think. The only thing you could say is man, the competition maybe wasn't really tough, but it's hard to be too tough on them because you don't really know exactly how good they are. We have an idea, but he did it. He was awesome. He was near perfect. Now, that roster that Baffert has is just, the roster of three-year-olds is just that. I've never seen anything like it. Maybe back in the days of heydays of Calumet or some of the other, you know, big dominant stables back in the 20s or 30s or 40s. Maybe they had some kind of a roster like this, but I have not seen anything like this, including Bob Baffert's roster. Now, he's had horses. He's had three or four Derby contenders before, but it was always kind of like, yeah, but there's this one that looks really good. This time there's, I don't know, three or four that look really good. It's absolutely amazing. It's absolutely amazing that one trainer could have that much firepower. And, you know, I was going to enter this season under the belief that, okay, Justify shattered the Apollo Jinx. But I was going to enter this season saying to myself, okay, just because Justify did it doesn't mean somebody else is going to do it. I'm willing to say, if you don't start as a two-year-old, you can't win the Derby. I'm willing to stick by that. But Baffert seems to have, you know, with these colts he has, he seems to have rewritten the record book. It's like, it doesn't matter. So looking at that and looking at who's running and what they're doing, I'd have to say, no, I can't believe that anymore. And of course, now with the Derby possibly being delayed, all that goes out the window anyway. But I think those two performances were, what else could you want to see? Only Knock, maybe? Nadal, maybe too much? Charlatan, maybe the competition? I mean, if you're in a knocking mood, and really, if you're a horse player, it's not so much knocking, but it's looking, it's remembering the old adage of all sports gamblers. A team, a horse, an individual is never as good as they look when they win in a tremendous performance. And a team, a horse, a perk, an individual is never as bad as they look in a horrible losing performance. Somewhere in the middle is their true ability level, and they will come to that mean. It doesn't mean they're going to do it right away, but they're going to gradually come to whatever that mean is. And but Mr. Baffert seems to do pretty well with these. His mean is a lot higher than anybody else's mean.
Well, and this Charlatan, you know, he's done something here. I reached out to my man, Doug Salvatore. Doug's got, you know, he's very good with this when it comes to the figure, you know, the histories and other. I mean, the horse that came to mind first was Formal Gold, who, you know, had that 112 buyer in his debut and then followed it up with 100. And then in an allowance win, the only sub triple digit fig of his career. And then, of course, you know, as he matured, it was tearing off, you know, 120s, 125s, 124, 126, as a matter of course. This is fairly, this is fairly unprecedented. I don't know how far, you know, being by Smitestown, I don't know how far, you know, he wants to go, but it was pretty stunning, I'll tell you. And, you know, and Nadal, we talked about a lot leading in over the last 2 weeks, you know, since the stake win, and, you know, the way he used that as a training exercise, a 7 furlong, and, you know, and then started to lean on him with that, you know, mile and 16th work. And he needed every, you know, every ounce of that. Wet track too, Johnny. You got, you know, you fold that in, and you know, I should look. I'm trying to think about the rest of the charts. I'm watching the stakes. Right, nobody else. There wasn't much closing going on that racetrack.
You know, no, there wasn't. There wasn't throughout the day. But someone once said something to me that I kind of always look for. He said when the track is off, you know, unless excuse me, unless a horse shows a clear disdain for it, or unless they show that they clearly move up on it, you know, to where you've got example after example, for the most part, what an off racetrack does is the ones who are talented and in good form and fit, in other words, the ones who are talented and fit, it doesn't bother them. They'll run through it and they'll be fine. The ones who are, I want to say, cheaper or less quality, not as much in form, as not fit, not as fit, they will use it as an excuse to quit. So very often when you get those strung out fields over an off track, you say, well, those horses didn't handle it. And he handled it. Well, if you look a little deeper, what happens is sometimes, not all the time, there's nothing in this game all the time, but they stretched out because the ones that were more fit and had more talent stretched the field out on them. So that the gap between them widened, and the ones that were able to use it as an excuse, oh, I'm getting tired, I don't like this, they stop. And when they stop completely. They just give up. So that I think, is an interesting analysis of off tracks and how they seem to string out. And, not always just because the other guys didn't handle it, and this guy did. It's not always the case.
Johnny, I should mention Dave Grenig in the last 5 minutes, and we'll reach out to Dave or Pat McKenna at NYRA. Dave Grenig tweeting, given the announcement by the governors of New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, he presumes that Aqueduct will not continue to run. The Monday announcement states casinos, gyms, racetracks, and movie theaters will close at 8 p.m. tonight. So
there you go. Yeah. There you go.
Now, and people, there's lots of, you know, there's lots of, you know, movement, understandably, to be, you know, responsible here. I know that Churchill, I think their employees are going to be working from home. They're going to try to make it as easy for everybody to, you know, shelter in place, as they say. And, you know, did you see the hashtag stay the hell home, except not hell, stay the fuck home? It was pretty funny. Trying to, you know, it's funny. They say that the millennial crowd and the two generations that are being cavalier about this, young and moderately old.
Part of the reason for that is because of the victims of this virus appear to be not them. So they don't understand how they can transmit it to older people and injured. They don't see their role in it.
They hide that information in books and in articles. It's not a it's not a difficult. There's people from the World Health Organization and learned people. None apparently on Pennsylvania Avenue, but elsewhere that understand how this. There's a piece that people can pull up. It's not a long read from Reuters yesterday talking about patient 31 in South Korea, a young woman who managed to single-handedly trip the widespread, the spread of it in South Korea, single-handedly, by going to church a couple of days, despite having fevers, and also going to a restaurant and somewhere else, too. It's fascinating. I'll send a link to it.
Anything about her celebrating St. Patrick's Day?
Well, that's another thing. I mean, that's just idiotic. I mean, there'll be other St. Patrick's Days. Why anybody would not understand the importance? I mean, they do have grandparents, right? And they do have, I saw something. I saw, of course, on Facebook, there's so much stupidity. It's hard to keep track. But I saw one comment about, oh, does anybody actually know anyone? Well, and of course, when Chuck Simon was with us on Wednesday, he talked about John Brennan, who around the harness game has known for, 50 years. And I understand yesterday word came that Richard Monk, Funky Monkey, the stable that David Donk trains for, Richard Monk, who's been around New York racing forever, and I would think is somebody that's vulnerable because he's had a cancer fight and so forth. I understand Richard and his wife are sick, so it's just remarkable that people would be cavalier about this.
It is. Well. You know, you mentioned the by the way, I told Gail, I said, I don't know if I want to go on Steve Vick's show today. She said, well, what do you mean you don't want to go on the show? I said, well, every time I go on there, something happens in racing.
Well, last week, Johnny, as the fast moving story was evolving and splashing across the wires and gaining reaction. You were very helpful. We couldn't speculate, until specifics came around. But now it's a week later. Some thoughts. I mean, you've certainly, in your career around the game, you understand this dialogue and the unusual circumstance of, trainers winning at exorbitant rates or, with performances that look too good to be true. And you can roll your eyes and so forth, but you until there's something to hang your hat on, now there's something to hang a hat on.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because I told myself it was a good day for racing, but the more I thought about it, I guess it wasn't a very good day for racing. I had to actually contact two people, two acquaintances, and apologize to them because on different occasions they had asked me, excuse me, my expert in air quotes opinion, specifically Jason Service, his stats, his training, and by extension Navarro, but specifically Jason. And I think in my handicapping mind I certainly knew that they were performing way above expectations, but I think I must not have wanted to believe it. Certainly, to the extent that it's been the evidence has suggested, it's that. And I told both of them, and I made the case to both of those people that, you know, he's just a good horseman, and he runs his horses in the right spot. And look at a horse like Maximum Security. He got four wins out of Maximum Security before he had to face anybody tough. And that's just great management. And, you know, his training is unorthodox. So people are, they don't understand it. They don't get it. And it's not the same as everybody else. So, you want to question it and criticize it. So I laid out all these wonderful points to both of these people. And then part of my job last week was to contact both of these people and apologize because I'd been such an idiot and so naive, really. I know they were exceeding expectations. I know that the things that were happening weren't right. I guess I just didn't want to internalize it or believe it, wrap my arms around it. I wanted to keep it at a distance. I wanted to believe something else. So I had myself convinced that that wasn't the case. By the way, and I know you know this, and horse players know this, these are not the only guys who have between 20 and 30% first off the claim win percentages. So either we have some very bad trainers out there who are losing horses to some really good trainers, or there's more of this going on and we haven't even scratched the surface. So it's one or the other of those two things. I compared it a little, just certainly not the complete situation. It's more of an apples to oranges comparison. But in sports, when McGuire and Sosa and when Bonds and when these guys were banging him out of the ballpark at, you know, at Ruthian rates, and everyone was excited and in the throes of it, and the questions were there, and they were raised, but they couldn't really be raised because you didn't have any proof. So it's very similar to that. The problem is that once it came out, once the steroid use came out, then every time a guy hit a home run, if a little guy hit a home run, it was because he was on steroids. And if a home run hitter went into a slump, oh, he's off steroids. It was the answer for it, became the easy answer for everything. When a horse wins impressively, the first reaction is to say, well, that guy's using the shit. There it is. And I don't know anymore. I feel bad. I feel a bit like, what do I know now anymore? Do I know anything about this game? I've done a lot of wrestling with this.
Well, I can certainly empathize and concur. I mean, there's understanding or seeing performance at certain levels that, you know, you make the presumptions about, and that can be at A-tracks. But when it comes to the highest level, John, that was the part that I was incredulous about, that, you know, that between super testing and between out of competition testing, that and international, I mean, certainly there's uncertainty about the Saudi thing, but when it in reference to the Golden Shaheen and Dubai, you know, we're told that how foolproof it is internationally. Well, so using that as the standard, you think it's not possible that somebody would risk at that level. That's what I, you know, was, you know, certainly taken in by at that, to that degree. I mean, and plus you also want to believe in the story. I mean, the story was a fun story, a horse that, and really a whole family of horses, including the sire and the dam that were basically given up on. And, you know, the sire exported, the dam sold, and, the horse willing to be, dangled at a low price. And, you know, and obviously, I mean, everybody figured that, you know, he had to have a hole or two in him, you know, to be running at that level. But then, you know, then to gain the momentum, you know, he gained, it just seemed like a pretty wonderful story. That's all. And that part of it is, you know, that's a big part of the disheartening element.
Right. You added something to what I said, which I forgot to mention. The testing. I mean, I naively believed that they were infallible. Well,
there was never. I don't think there's ever been a question infallible. That it was infallible. I mean, that at the high, your presumption was what they referred to as super testing and constant monitoring and all that stuff that goes on, particularly with the Triple Crown and the Breeders' Cup, that those, that collection of supervision and monitoring would weed it out. And, that's what's so difficult to deal with. And also, there's no that's the point we were trying to make last week with Sean Smealy, was that other than adding another layer of infrastructure that's going to have to be paid for, what magic elixirs are going to be discovered under, you know, what essentially is a similar scenario? I mean, you're going to have to create a, you know, the TRPB thing that had been, you know, discussed last week. It's got to be undercover work and tip lines and a deterrence that absolutely shut it off. And the one other problem is going to be, Johnny, that there's plenty of concern or rumors and whispers that there's more to come, and there's some other areas of potential embarrassment and nefarious activity, and it's very tough to be upbeat, to say the least.
Yeah, so I don't want any more bad news while I'm on your show. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Here's the good news. Did you see? You were in California when Schwarzenegger was governor, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you see the video of him telling people to stay home with? And he's got a donkey, a miniature donkey, I can't really tell by the video, but a burro or a hula or.
Right.
Yeah, he's got a donkey and he's got a miniature pony. In the kitchen. It's in the kitchen. He's having it. They're in the kitchen. Yes. It's hysterical.
I cleaned up the mess.
I as usual, the donkey is just ridiculous. The ponies are fine, but they're generally kind of nasty. That burro is adorable. That apparently her name's Lulu.
Yeah.
So seek this out, everybody. Put Arnold. Yeah, and you'll see it. It's really cute. It's who knew? Johnny.
Lulu.
This was this was good. Thank you.
You know, you mentioned just briefly here. You mentioned that that huge payoff at Santa Anita.
Yeah.
That swept the $421,000 winner, and the ticket was sold through ExpressBet. Just to give you a little info on it, the ticket was $1,728, which is a decent sized ticket, I would say.
Yeah.
But it gives you a lot of coverage on a 20-cent wager. The ticket looked like this: 1 by 6 by 6 by 4 by 6 by 11. So that encompassed most of the afternoon's action, and just happened to catch a nice payoff in the last, and that made it all. But it's sweet to go into the last race with 11 runners, and just figure that you need. I think there were 3 or 4 of them. I think they were alive at that point for the single ticket. So it must have been this person that had all those tickets, because he had 1 through 11 in the last race. So he must have just been sitting there, you know, watching, hoping for 1 or 2, or it may have been 3 or 4. I can't remember exactly what it showed at the end, but it was more than one that would pay it out. And he must have had them all. He had everybody in the race. Anyway, got Bruce Henley home with 2660. So that's another big payoff through ExpressBet. And this is not a highest level player. He's a decent player, but he's not a XP Select player. So it can happen. Is my point. That's a big ticket, though. 1728.
That's a very big ticket.
I don't usually put those in, Steve.
Well, at 20 cents, I mean, you know, divided by 5, so, you know, it's like a 3. Well, I'll tell you what.
We had the one pay, what was it, $1.2 million back in February 17th. That ticket was $51.20, $1.2 million. It was 1 by 8 by 2 by 8 by 1. So 2 singles, 2 of those 8s were all. This is a golf season. And there was a double in the other race. So 2 singles, a double, and 2 all. 51.20 comes back $1.2 million. So there are many ways to skin a cat, I guess, is the moral of the story, huh?
Yeah, always. Always. Tomorrow I'll go over with Andy. I'll go over the, you had a big payout in the cross country. And it's funny, in the cross country, which was tricky going in, and it was playing out fairly formful. And then you had the nightcap at Oaklawn, and the Leblancs with a monster, with a big price winner in the nightcap that put the spurs to the cross country. So we'll go over that tomorrow with Andy.
You remember on the 27th of February, there was a Gulfstream Rainbow Six ticket. Paid $469,000. That ticket was a $2,300 ticket. $2,304. It was 12, which was an all, by 8, which is an all, by 2, which is in a 10-horse field, by 2 in a 7-horse field, by 5 in a 9-horse field, by 6 in a 9-horse field. $2,300 ticket, $469,000. So, you know, you'd like to say to yourself, I can't put tickets in like that. I can't compete with guys like that to play the game like that. Well, you can't, but on February 17th, somebody put in a $51 ticket and hit for $1.2 million. So got to be your day, Steve. It's got to be your day.
Always. That's always the case, whether it's six-figure scores, seven-figure scores, or two-figure scores. doesn't matter. Johnny, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, Stevie. You take care of yourself and take care of yourself and Tina, and don't touch anybody.
Well, and you and same thing for you. And I don't know. Next Monday, it'll be interesting to see how much we've got to talk about. Andy and I were laughing the other day over the weekend about. He said, "What are you going to do if the racing, if racing stops?" I said, "Well, we'll pull out a few features that I've wanted to do, like horses the time forgot. That's something I've wanted to do for ages." I said, "We'll come up with something fun."
If you want to shift gears, I think an important public service would be to inform people, now that they're stuck inside of television shows and movies that they ought to see.
Absolutely.
And let them know, what service they're on, whether it's HBO or Netflix or Amazon or whatever service they're on. And let's start to, because people have time. They want something to watch. They don't want to waste their time, certainly. I think that'd be a great public service.
All right, that'll be added to the potentialities. No doubt. Johnny D, everybody, XB Johnny D. A little past the top of the hour. Let's break. We've got Michael McCarthy, got Dale Romans, and we've had kind of extensive conversations this morning. A little kind of a sedate, really, but important too. Back after this. Hour three at the races.
The latest racing news. It's at the races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Want an online tournament that boasts no rake, skim, or takeout with a $10,000 first prize? Here it is. Play ExpressBet Live online Saturday, March 21st. ExpressBet Live is for account holders only, with no registration or other pesky fees. Simply make a live $20 wager on one horse in 10 competition races. Earn the most and collect $10,000. Plus, there's from $1,000 to $4,000 in additional prizes. The top 30 finishers automatically qualify for the $50,000 ExpressBet Showdown. Sweep the card and earn a juicy $5,000 bonus. Don't have an ExpressBet account? Visit ExpressBet.com today and qualify for a $100 bonus. Then register free for ExpressBet Live, the best tournament value going. Play live online with ExpressBet Saturday, March 21st, and it could be your day, but only if you play. Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Public Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'm coming back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
From BRL Equine, the people that bring you EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield, now comes Flexify HA, the most advanced scientifically based joint supplement on the market. To find out more, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880. To be the best, give them only the best. BRL Equine. Seriously.